This Sunday, we're celebrating the solemnity of the most holy body and blood of Christ our Lord. It's a great chance to reflect on the Eucharist, on the reality of the Eucharist, the requirement of the Eucharist, and the remembrance of the Eucharist. And on this solemn feast, we are called above all to faith in the fact that as revealed by Jesus himself, that the Eucharist, Holy Communion, is in fact a reception of the very body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, whole and entire, in his glorified state. We don't partake in a symbol. The Eucharist is not a metaphor. It truly is the Lord. Neither is it just a piece of his flesh. It is Christ, whole and entire, body, blood, soul, and divinity that we are receiving. That's why Jesus goes and says, he goes and accounts of his Last Supper, and he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given up for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, the cup after supper, saying, "This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." That's why Jesus explains today during the sermon, during the Bread of Life discourse, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. The bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh." And this passage has profound theology of the Eucharist from Jesus himself. That he makes it clear that we're not permitted to think of the Eucharist as a symbol or as a metaphor. And when Jesus refers to the bread as his flesh, the Jewish people hearing him grumbled in protest. How can this be? How can he say this? How are we going to eat his flesh? And Jesus doesn't seek to reassure them or insist that he's speaking symbolically. Rather, he becomes even more adamant, shifting his vocabulary in the Greek from a polite form of eating to an impolite form. That he goes and says, "You're going to munch, to gnaw, to chew on my flesh." Very graphic language. And so insistent was he that they had grasped that this, that he permits many of them to leave at the end of it, because they go and say, "This is too hard for us to believe." And he doesn't say, "Oh, don't come back. I'm just kidding." He lets them walk away, knowing that they would no longer follow in his company due to this very teaching. That yes, the Lord paid quite a price for this graphic and hard teaching. And today he asks us, as he asked the apostles at the end of this sermon, "Do you also want to leave me?" We must supply our answer each time we approach the altar and hear the body of Christ. That it's here we can answer our Lord, saying amen. As if to echo the words of St. Peter, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the word of eternal life." If only everyone would grasp the Lord himself is truly present in our churches, in the tabernacle, here in our church. Were that so, one could never empty our parishes of those seeking to pray with our Lord, to be present in his company with him. As it is, it's not surprising. 2 years ago, there was that survey saying that only 30%, a third of Catholics believe in the real presence of the Eucharist. Well, it's also not surprising that only a third of Catholics come to Mass on a regular basis. Because those who believe come to Mass regularly. This is more evidence of the narrow road, of how few there are who find it. That just as most left Jesus then, many continue to leave him now or stand far away, through indifference or false notions. What father would not be severely alarmed if one of his children stopped eating? Consider then God's alarm that many people have stopped eating, have stopped receiving his Son in the Eucharist. Perhaps that's what these last 3 months have been about. God trying to wake up our world, trying to draw them back to him. And you go and think, when we were younger, or at least maybe just when I was younger, when I thought of going to Mass and receiving communion, I thought it was just something that my parents made me do. That was just rituals and stuff. We were just going there, yeah, we had to worship God, okay, and all that. And I never thought it was essential to receive communion for my survival. But John's gospel today teaches something very profound about Holy Communion, about the Eucharist. That in effect, that he goes and says that without Holy Communion, we will starve and die spiritually. And Jesus went and said, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. As a kid, as a teenager, I never thought of the Holy Communion, of the Eucharist, as essential for my life. As something that, if not received regularly, would cause me to die spiritually. But it makes sense, doesn't it? When you hear those words of Jesus. If we don't eat food in our physical lives, we grow weak, eventually die. It's the same with Holy Communion. We can go and remember from the book of Exodus in our first reading, the people, the Israelites, were without food in the desert. They feared for their lives. They go and grumble to Moses saying, you've brought us out here in the desert. There's no food out here. What's going to happen to us? We're going to die out here. And what does God do? God goes and gives them the bread from heaven, gives them manna that they collect each morning. That without eating that bread from heaven, they would have never made it to the promised land. They would have died in that desert. It's the same with us. They're out receiving Jesus, our living manna from heaven, in Holy Communion. We will not make it to our promised land of heaven. That it's not just a ritual after all. It's essential for our survival. Don't miss Holy Communion. Jesus urges us to eat, to receive Holy Communion every Sunday without fail. That's why the last 3 months have been so difficult. And Jesus urges us with this word, unless. Holy Communion is our required food. It's also that remembrance. The word remembrance comes up a lot in reference to Holy Communion. And Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. What is this remembrance? Why is this remembrance important? In effect, to remember is to have present in our minds what God has done for us. That we're grateful and different because what God has done for us. That he has saved us, made us his children, opened the gates of heaven for us. Yet, if we're honest, our minds are very weak. We get distracted easily. We're humans after all. And too easily we let this slip from our conscious thoughts. And so thus the summons to remembrance that happens so frequently in the Mass, causing us to remember, to help us to recall what's going on. Even some of the physical things we hear during the Mass, like the bells ringing at consecration, to help us to recall, to focus on what's going on. To remember all that God has done for us. To summon us to be open to it. To be powerfully aware of what the Lord has done for us. To not just be sitting there, standing there, kneeling there. To be present to the living, conscious reality that transforms us. And we go and can pose a question then. Are we a mouse or are we a man? Back in my seminary days in class, we were given this example of a mouse who scurries across the altar, much so it would be to Father Saunders' shock and all. He'd be petrified that we had this happen. But you can go imagine. A mouse scurries across the altar, takes a consecrated host, runs off and eats it. Right, we were asked then by a professor, does the mouse eat the body of Christ? The answer is yes, absolutely. It was a consecrated host. That is the body of Christ. The Eucharist has a reality unto itself. Then our professor asks us, does the mouse receive a sacrament? And we all paused. We're like, well, wait a second. What's going on? Then no, the mouse does not receive a sacrament because the mouse does not have a rational mind. It eats the very body of Christ, but to no avail. Because it has no conscious awareness, no appreciation of what, of whom it is eating. And so the question for us then is, are you a mouse or are you a man? How do you receive Holy Communion? Do you mindlessly shuffle along in communion line in that mechanical way? Or do you come up powerfully aware whom you are about to receive? Do you remember? Do you have vividly present in your mind what the Lord has done for us? Are we grateful and amazed at what he has done, what he offers to us? Or are we just like a mouse, mindless receiving something that has been put into our mouths? How do we receive Holy Communion? Since it's been 3 months and we kind of fell out of practice of receiving communion, it's to also recall what we are physically doing to receive Holy Communion. That we're receiving in our tongue, to place our tongue a little bit outside of our mouth, to open up our mouths. Not just to have your mouth open up like a little crack. And it makes me then feel like I'm Luke Skywalker trying to hit the target of the Death Star. Or to go and stick your tongue all the way out of your mouth, and it makes me think of a puppy dog. Or that, or when you're receiving on the hand, that you're not reaching out to snatch the body of Christ from me. Or you're not moving your hands around like a drive-by target, a moving target, which is hard to hit. Okay? Or another favorite is when somebody comes up and does both. It's Father's choice. I get to choose which way you're going to receive Holy Communion then. Are we aware? Are we a man or a mouse in receiving our Lord? That some people put more faith in Tylenol than they do in the Eucharist. Why? Because when they take Tylenol, they expect something to happen. They expect that pain to go away, for there to be that relief and healing. But when it comes to the Holy Communion, they expect nothing new. To them, it's just a ritual. There's no real meaning there. How can this be? Poor catechesis? Probably. Little faith? Sure. Boredom? Definitely. That on some level, it can be no better than a mouse eating a host. That we're receiving the Lord of all creation, the King and of the universe and our world. That we need to realize, to remember, to have present in our mind all that the Lord has done for us, is doing for us. Of how receiving him in the Eucharist is transforming our lives. That we become what we eat. That in receiving our Eucharist, we become more and more like our Lord. Looking more and more like him. It's been very beautiful these last few weeks and being able to give out communion again. To see the faith that you all have. And Father Saunders and I both have commented the beauty of it. Seeing tears in the eyes of people who have not received our Lord in Holy Communion for several months. Of how they cry. The longing that they've had. The desire to be united with him in that way of Holy Communion. And we need to continue to ask our Lord to deepen our faith. To always remember what the Eucharist is. Who the Eucharist is. Of how our Lord transforms our life to make us look more like him. So we can set this world on fire. So that God the Father can recognize us more as his children here on earth. And eventually welcome us home to his heavenly kingdom.